Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. And our guest is a friend of mine, a longtime friend of mine, the chair of the Scientific Review Committee for the Every Cat Health Foundation, retired chief medical officer of VetCor, and a brilliant veterinarian here to talk about amazing news regarding feline infectious peritonitis, or FIP, in cats. It occurs a lot. It occurs mostly, although not exclusively, to kittens. So if you know cats, if you have a cat, if you care about cats, this conversation will be not only important to you, but we have some breaking news regarding FIP. Dr. Hollab, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
What is FIP, or feline infectious peritonitis? I think that's the best way to start.
Oh, well, I think it's easy to understand since we've just been through a significant coronavirus pandemic in human beings. FIP is coronavirus in cats, but a different version of coronavirus. Thank goodness, not at all transmissible from cats to humans, but a different version. It's a version that's not respiratory like the human coronavirus was for SARS-CoV-2, but it is a gastrointestinal version, unfortunately, that can escape the gastrointestinal system. And until 2016, was mostly 99% fatal in cats. So it's a virus. It's a contagious virus with a couple caveats.
All right. So now I've got to ask, what are those caveats?
So very different than human coronavirus, and that is that if someone got sick from human coronavirus, that sick person could directly transmit that virus to another human, and then that human would get sick. But FIP plays a little different game. So FIP has two bioforms, or two versions. It has an enteric version, and that version is very contagious from cat to cat. But if it remains in that version, in that biologic form, it really doesn't make the patient sick. But once the virus gets into that patient, maybe 10% of the time, that virus can mutate into a very different version of the disease. And once it mutates, 10% of those can go on and get very sick and die of the disease if not treated. And interesting is that when it makes that conversion, that mutation, it's not contagious in that form. So the good thing about FIP is the sick cat with FIP is not contagious. There may be some interesting takes on that that we'll discover in the future. But for right now, that's the paradigm.
Okay,
so a little different version.
Right. So these kittens that have and are diagnosed, and it was very difficult at one point in time, and I don't want to get into the weeds on this, except to say very difficult to diagnose for veterinarians for many, many years because it wasn't at all fully understood. And an organization, a nonprofit, for which you have been on the board and on the scientific committee and now lead the scientific review committee, but you've been involved for many years, called the Win Feline Foundation at the time, now called the Every Cat Health Foundation, a nonprofit which funds cat health studies around the world, funded one specific dude, Dr. Niels Petersen, at the University of California, Davis, and others all over the world, to, first off, for years. It was so complicated. And your explanation sounds a bit complicated, so no wonder. For years it took, decades, veterinarians to completely understand how this disease works in the first place. You can't treat something you don't understand. And then the goal would be to come up with some sort of treatment. And in 2016, it was Dr. Niels Petersen, at the University of California, Davis, professor of veterinary medicine, who came to our science—I say ours because I'm on the board of the Every Cat Health Foundation—and said, "I've got an idea," and that idea, Dr. Holub, seemed to work better than even Dr. Peterson thought it could ever work.
Absolutely. And I believe he initiated the research in 2015 and very quickly in 2016 published his data. And he had access to some interesting treatments that nobody knew were going to be home runs for coronavirus. But the most interesting one of those treatments came from a company called Gilead. They had developed a product in fear of Ebola virus suddenly becoming a pandemic. And they wanted a medicine that maybe could help treat or prevent Ebola virus from worsening. And so they invented a medicine that then they shelved because it really never panned out. Ebola virus never spread around the world as everybody feared it might. And that medicine was called Remdesivir. But Remdesivir had a second life because Gilead understood Remdesivir. And Remdesivir breaks into a couple different chemicals in the body. And one of those chemicals it breaks into is the active compound, and had a big fancy name, a number actually, GS441524.
Yes.
Gilead gave that compound, among others, to Dr. Peterson. And through Dr. Peterson's research, and no one really had any idea that this Ebola drug would really work in coronavirus, magically, I believe there were six cats in that study, and all six, or five out of six, suddenly survived. The average survival time for a kitten was 7 to 10 days. And these cats then were completely treated, and actually not in the paper, but we now know years later, were still healthy and fine. So this medicine, this compound, GS441524, ultimately proved to be a cure in not every cat, but 80 to 90% of cats that had this active form of coronavirus in cats that we call FIP.
Right. Dr. Holub, I need to stop you there because we need to break for a commercial. I also want to fast forward the clock a little bit and talk about, well, how China got involved in all of this, much to the chagrin of the veterinary profession in some ways, and where we are today with FIP, and it is so different than where we were before Dr. Peterson said, hey, Remdesivir does work. And we'll talk about all of that when we come back, including some big news on WGN. This is big news. I'm saying really big news for cats. We're talking with Dr. Brian Holub, the chair of the Science Review Committee of the Every Cat Health Foundation. So we've got this drug called Remdesivir. It's working. Gilead, the pharma company, says, okay, you can have it, but then decides, you know, you've had enough of it. You've got to figure this out on your own. We're not going to allow this product to go to cats anymore. And it was figured out on its own. Another similar, because once you've got the compound, you can develop another. And that's what Dr. Peterson, other colleagues did at other veterinary schools. More studies were done, and voila, these cats are surviving. Fast forward the clock just a couple of years to 2019. There's a symposium at the University of California, Davis. It was sort of Dr. Peterson's last hurrah. Every Cat Health Foundation brings in just about every researcher from around the world who ever studied FIP. At the end of this event, Dr. Holub, I know you were unable to attend. I did, and I was the guy who made the announcement, actually. FIP is no longer fatal. It is now considered by all these experts in the room treatable. And I looked up, and I remember third row to my right, Dr. Elizabeth Colleran, who has since passed away, tears running, streaming down her face. And then I'm looking around the room, and the same thing. For many of these hardened, but not so hardened, veterinary professionals in the room, I mean, could you ever have imagined that FIP would be considered treatable?
Yeah, very exciting news. And no, I did not expect that all the wonderful research that had been done by EveryCat would have led to a cure. But lo and behold, GS-4415-24 ended up being that incredible magic cure. He also studied another medicine called GC-376, which is currently by a company called Anaviv, being curated to be another drug coming out of that 2016 study that hopefully soon, maybe within 1 to 2 years, will be available as yet another cure. And now we know of other medicines that can cure FIP, like remdesivir. Remdesivir is being used in cats to cure FIP, as is other medicines like molnupiravir. And big news, maybe Paxlovid will be a drug that can be used, not at the point yet where using that medicine, but research underway, been shown to be safe. Research underway to show that it will be perhaps another medicine effective for curing FIP.
You know, on this very radio station, and by the way, I did mention it in my first, I think, interview with Dr. Tony Fauci. I told him about how remdesivir came. He said he was unaware. Came actually from animal health, and it was you, in a sense. It was the EveryCat Health Foundation. It was certainly Dr. Peterson. And also the notion that cats get this coronavirus, which sometimes transformed into FIP. Remdesivir works for cats. We're not cats. But the U.S. government was so desperate to find an antiviral that might work. And if it wasn't for all the above happening, I don't think that remdesivir would have even been thought about, Dr. Holub.
I'm convinced that veterinary medicine was a template for why that drug would have been considered. Absolutely agree.
Yeah, and of course, remdesivir has been used to treat human COVID-19, the coronavirus that is novel, that we've gotten, that created the pandemic that everyone knows about, and saved or played a role in saving countless lives. All right, so let's get back to cats. So in 2019, I make that announcement. In 2019, Anaviv says, okay, the pharma company that you're talking about in animal health, that we're going to the FDA. Center for Veterinary Medicine, which, by the way, seems to be dragging its feet. But yes, you're right. In another year or two, I'm sure maybe they will say we approve this. But in the meantime, there's a void. There's nothing at that point in time available for cats. Tell us what China did and how veterinarians responded at first, but later responded differently.
Well, one of the things we don't like about China's trade policies is a disregard for proprietary protection. And so that negative ended up being a positive for cats, because suddenly compounded medicines, which are illegal because they're violating patent protections, started to become available from black market sources in China. But veterinarians have ethical responsibilities about buying and using those medications. But thank goodness a fantastic group of private citizens, along with wonderful leadership, like Zen by Cat, Peter Cohen.
Yes.
And a fantastic group called FIP Warriors were able to create a tremendous backdoor network that suddenly allowed the owner of a cat, a pet parent, information, knowledge, and support to get their hands on this black market product fast enough from China to actually save lives. Because really, there wasn't enough time with this disease to wait days or weeks for medicine to be shipped from China. And FIP warriors were able to create an availability or an access and support to get the medicine in the hands of the owner, because veterinarians couldn't do that. But once it was in the hands of the owner, even though it was an illegal source, and for a reason that I don't really like, and that is that China breaks these rules of patent protection, I like that suddenly this medicine became available for treatment in cats in the United States. So a veterinarian never needed to touch the medicine, never needed to administer the medicine, just needed to understand the research and the dosages that Dr. Peterson had published. These were well-known, published, compounded material information. Those first brave veterinarians went ahead and started encouraging their clients to reach out to FIP warriors, who then were able to assist those clients getting the medication. And then those first early adopter veterinarians guided those clients to treat those cats. And guess what? Suddenly lots and lots of cats were not dying of FIP. And boy, that spread across the veterinary industry very quickly. And excitement suddenly started brewing about the veterinary community's ability to help assess, but with tremendous fear in the veterinary world, because there was a fear that the FDA may crack down on veterinarians and they didn't want to lose their license to prescribe medicines like anesthesia or pain medicines or other medicines that were so vital to so many other patients. And that created a lot of angst, yet a lot of opportunity to treat the disease.
And the big question was, don't answer yet, the big question was, do these products we're getting from China, what are they? Do they even work? And then the big news, which we're saving for last here, we'll talk about when we come back with Dr. Brian Holub of the Every Cat Health Foundation on WGN. Does your head talk to your brain? Well, it does. I mean, think about it now. You're really nervous about something. You're really worried about something. And you feel sick to your stomach. How can that happen? Because our guts and brain do communicate with one another. It turns out, we now know, the same is true for dogs and cats. And next week, what I'm sure will be a fascinating conversation with veterinary behaviorist Dr. Julia Albright. Also, more pets are living longer than ever before. He's an expert on aging pets. And we'll also talk about the Fear-Free Initiative with veterinary behaviorist Dr. Gary Landsberg and the difference Fear-Free makes. Well, not only what we think, but what we now know by some studies that he, in fact, oversaw. So he'll announce for the first time what some of these studies are and how Fear-Free really does make a difference. Dr. Brian Holub is the chair of the Scientific Review Committee of the Every Cat Health Foundation, retired chief medical officer of VetCorps. And you can hear by listening to this guy, he is incredible. And like so many individuals, passionate. I have met veterinarian after veterinarian after veterinarian, just incredibly passionate about feline infectious peritonitis. I don't know what it is about FIP, but so many, Dr. Holub, would you agree that the passion about FIP, if you go to a veterinary conference and speak on this topic, it's palpable?
Oh, yeah. So I have a 40-plus year career in veterinary medicine, and there have been very few disorders that the paradigm shift was so dramatic. The other one decades ago that I can remember was a disease called hepatoclipidosis, where we just thought cats that had that were going to die because we had tried every medicine. Lo and behold, food is all they needed, and suddenly we could cure cats that were considered to have had death sentence. Well, FIP is a modern example of that same scenario, that it was considered to be a death sentence. And it's just a excitement that occurs in the veterinarian to have this paradigm shift that now it can be cured.
And it can. So these products come from China. They come on the so-called black market. Veterinarians are beginning to, the veterinarians still could not in any way prescribe something from the black market, but they can tell folks to go to something online called FIP Warriors. I think FIP Warriors 5.0 is the most recent on Facebook, where they would get support, including veterinary support, about what to do with mostly injectables, and the products would come from China or on occasion not come. If they didn't, they'd have a response to that too, and ways for which you could get these products. The question at the beginning was, okay, does this stuff work? Dr. Holub, it turns out Wendy Novikoff and others have published studies now, peer-reviewed, to demonstrate, yeah, it works. I mean, it's no longer anecdotal that these kittens are living. They are living.
Yeah, absolutely. The very beginnings by injection actually initially created some angst because it was so acidic. We were having some worries about the affected skin over which the injections were given. But then those fears passed. Then we had fears of the FDA getting involved and interfering with the supply. But again, we overcame that. And then the medicine became available in an oral form. And through other people's studies and through anecdotal information, we found that the oral versions worked. And more and more and more. And then other medicines in similar classes of anti-RNA ACEs or anti-protein ACEs were shown to work. And, oh my gosh, the excitement just became, as you said, palpable in our industry.
Yeah.
And so, then the big wish is for a legal product. And we are kind of on the cusp of that with some caveats. But we are getting closer and closer, and maybe even temporarily we're there.
All right. So talk about, you teased us now. So talk about what Stokes Pharmacy, based in New Jersey, just did.
So Stokes is kind of doing what another pharmaco company did in other parts of the world. There's this company called Bova. And they were able to, through legal channels, without violating patent protections of GS 44-1524, provide in Australia and Britain a legal version of that drug. And now, in the United States, I believe we've crossed the hurdles we need to for an American company, Stokes, to now, at least temporarily, with FDA's understanding and FDA's official statements, to produce the same medicine legally for the time being in the United States for its use in cats, which veterinarians then will be able to directly access. They're not legalizing it per se. They're bypassing the approval process, and they're going to turn a blind eye temporarily to enforcement on any of the underlying FDA requirements so that this medicine can become immediately available to cats in the United States. Now, that will probably be reversed at some point, but at least for the foreseeable future, I'm thinking year or two or three or four, Stokes will be able to provide that medicine in the United States until other legal medicines, like the Anaviv product or others in the pipeline, or a different version of remdesivir becomes available. So we now have a legal avenue for pet owners to be able to provide this life-saving medicine in the United States.
All right. So this life-saving medicine is a compounded product. It isn't formally approved by the FDA, but as you said, the FDA has made statements essentially saying, at least for the time being, we're going to allow this to happen because it needs to happen. It's a chewable, as I said. The chewable does taste like tuna, but these are very sick kittens that don't feel like eating anything. So one question I have for you, and you've dealt with this much of your career. How do you get a pill, short answer though, into a sick cat?
So I think veterinary medicine will easily be able to overcome that. I mean, worst case scenario, you mush it up into a liquid and you put a little feeding tube in and you pass it through the feeding tube, even a very, very sick patient. But at the end of the day, often can be divided into smaller pieces and be administered by mouth. Ideally, I would have wished this product also came in a very small form factor, rather than a larger chewable, because the smaller the form factor of the pill, the easier it would be to administer. And it still would be nice to have an injectable version for the very, very, very sick patients. And we will, because they're still the black market source. But I believe we will overcome every one of those issues, and it will be very viable and immediately accessible way to treat most FIP cases.
And they tell me that the pill is actually very, very small. So we have more to talk about, including whether Dr. Holub and others should recommend this way to go and what the advantages might be. And also, I want to talk with Dr. Holub, who knows more than anyone else, arguably in the world, about what's going on in Cyprus. That's right, country very far away with FIP. This could really be a book, I think, this drama. Or maybe it'll be maybe we'll see it on Netflix as a 4-part series. I don't know. If it is, Dr. Holub will be in it. I think I will be too, and I know we'll be right back. Dr. Brian Holub is here. He is the chair of the Science Review Committee of the Every Cat Health Foundation. Does that sound official?
It does.
Yeah, and you are pretty official. I want to talk about what's going on in Cyprus and how you're working with veterinary leaders around the world with that. But I want to get back to the Stokes Medicine. So veterinarians now, one difference between this and the Chinese products is your veterinarian, I think anyway, can get this product, correct?
Correct, right. Should be like any other compounding pharmacy, easily ordered and delivered. Being compounded in the United States means it should be able to be delivered overnight. Mm-hmm. There aren't any shipping or cold storage issues with the drug. And so suddenly, the accessibility of this product will be, number one, reliable, number two, rapid. So that's going to really ease the ability to initiate treatment in very, very, very sick cats.
And I think they're going to allow veterinarians soon, if it hasn't happened already, to store this product if they so desire. One more thing, if there's a question from the cat parent or the veterinary professional about anything having to do with the product, if it was the Chinese product, who do you call? Who do you ask? You know, you can't get a hold of, you probably don't even know the real source of that Chinese product. Here, you could just pick up the phone as a veterinary professional or a cat parent and call Stokes Pharmacy. So that makes a difference, I think, too, Dr. Holub.
Oh, absolutely. I believe a reputable and allowable legal source can radically change the adoption in the veterinary community to comfortably treating any cat with this disease.
Now, you alluded to it briefly earlier, but I want to make it clear. If I have a kitten that is diagnosed, say, tomorrow with FIP or feline infectious peritonitis, and that kitten is very sick, might the veterinarian say, and under what circumstances, might the veterinarian say, you know, you really should go with the Chinese product first, the injectable, and go to FIP Warriors, and then transition to the compound, which is what some are saying, or others say, you know what? The compounded product is just fine, even for the kittens that are very, very, very sick. Or don't we actually know the answers to that yet?
Well, we don't really know 100% the answers to that question. In veterinary medicine, there is a lot of intuition and personal preference on how to best manage a very, very acute crisis case. And so every pet owner needs to trust their veterinarian, and whichever path they're comfortable with is the path you should follow. The most important thing about successful treatment is the comfort the clinician has with making their recommendations and guiding their treatments. So whichever pathway the veterinarian is most comfortable with, in that veterinarian's hands will be the most successful pathway.
Now, earlier you said FIP, feline infectious peritonitis, is not, even though it's called infectious, it's not infectious from one cat directly to another. Having said that, the Every Cat Health Foundation and some feline researchers learned that in Cyprus, an FIP epidemic, for lack of a better word, was going on, and transmission was going from cat to cat in a way that the coronavirus does for us. As you mentioned, that didn't happen in cats quite the same way. Or that the common cold, maybe a better example, happens with us. You know, you sneeze on somebody else is going to get that cold. That wasn't true with FIP, maybe until now or not. So what's really happening in Cyprus, Dr. Holub?
Well, we're not 100% sure. I can speak as the chair of the scientific review board of the joint initiative between Every Cat Health Foundation and the Morris Animal Foundation on what's been named the FCOV23. Just like COVID-19 started in 2019, we're calling this version FCOV23. That has been identified and sequenced and absolutely been shown to be a different version of this feline coronavirus. But keep in mind, there have been many versions of FIP. There have been many versions of the feline coronavirus historically. In fact, just a number of years ago, very few years ago, I believe in 2019, there was what was thought to be a endemic of a different version of feline coronavirus in Greece. It kind of ran its course, though. It kind of burned its way out, and it never spread, and we never really got enough data on it. So the beauty of understanding this Cyprus event, whether this can be directly transmitted from cat to cat in its infective version or not, whether it is a version that will spread around the world or not, we have an opportunity to really understand feline coronaviruses better. And there is a pipeline to funding that started with Every Cat Health Foundation last year, 2023. The first $50,000 grant that started to seed money to understand this endemic that was occurring in Cyprus. But we were able to do a genetic fingerprint of that virus, and that genetic fingerprint has shown up in a cat in Britain because there is transportation of cats between Cyprus and Britain. So don't know 100% about what's going on there, but we have brilliant scientists that now are receiving funding through this initiative, Every Cat Morris Animal Foundation initiative, to really understand this new version of the disease. There's a worry that it may be directly transmissible, But there's also a reality that it may not be directly transmissible. It may just be a different way it manifests with the old paradigm of it being enteric and needing to mutate. But remember, only 10% of them mutated, and only 10% of them ended up causing disease. Maybe this new version, it's more than 10% that mutate. Maybe this new version, it's more than 10% of those that cause disease, or maybe it is directly transmissible. All of these issues are going to be explored.
All right,
Dr. Hollop, with science.
Dr. Hollop, perfect answer, but we've got a problem. The show is over. So let me just say this. Thank you, seriously, for everything you have done and continue to do for cats. To learn more and to follow this, sign up for the newsletter, which the Every Cat Health Foundation has. It's free at everycat.org. Dr. Brian Hollop, I am sorry we're out of time, but I thank you.
You're very welcome.
So what do you think the number one cause of death in cats is? Between the ages of about 2 to 10 or 11 years of age. It turns out to be heart disease. That's right, it's that common. And veterinarians up till now have not been able... Now, the veterinary cardiologist and veterinarians can treat, and that improves quality of life. It may delay the onset of heart failure or other problems as a result of heart disease, but it really doesn't do anything as far as cure, no way. And it's okay. It's a good thing that we prolong life. It's not what we want. It's not yet the goal. Next year we might have that. Trivium Vet, that's an Irish company, has come out with something that you'll hear me talk about a lot more. For more information about this, or maybe your cat can be in a clinical study, Trivium Vet, TRIVIUM.com. Talk to you next week, bright and early, on WGN.